Thanks to Pauline and everyone this morning for leading the service so well and bringing us to this point where we're going to continue our series in Genesis. We're looking at Jacob goes to Egypt. But before we get started, as Pauline was saying, we've been reading, many of us have been reading this book, Pilgrim's Progress. And what an incredible book it is, written hundreds of years ago, but still so relevant to our daily Christian walk. And we've had a recap. We see how this character Christian, he leaves the city of destruction and he makes his way towards the celestial city. And he has plenty of help along the way, but he also has many trials and difficulties. We think of how he had to fight Apollyon, the beast, with the using the sword of the spirit. We can think how he got trapped in the dungeon of the giant of despair's castle. And it was a tough life for Christian, but he made it by perseverance and the grace of God. He made it to the celestial city. Well, we're looking at Jacob's life, not just going to Egypt, but we're actually going to stand back and look at his whole life. And we're going to see exactly the same message. Great blessing. He was a blessing to others as well, but also he suffered trials and hardships. So, just to set the scene, we're just going to go back, right back to Genesis 12, 1 to 3. And this is the great promise God gave to Abraham. In Genesis 12, 1 to 3, God says to him, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families on earth will be blessed." Now, this is an amazing word from God to Abraham. And he promises to make Abraham a great nation, to bless him. And he says Abraham will be a blessing to others. And in fact, all the families on earth will be blessed through Abraham. It's amazing. Then three chapters later in Genesis, we read this. God said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions." So in the space of three chapters, we see both sides of the coin. We see Abraham is going to be mightily blessed. He'll be a blessing to others, but also his descendants will face trials and hardships. And we're going to see this theme throughout our sermon this morning. Okay, so let's pick up the text. We're starting Genesis 46. So as we read, the background is that Jacob's sons have come back from Egypt. They came back with the incredible news that Joseph is still alive, and what's more, he's ruler over all of Egypt. And Jacob is stunned, but eventually he comes around and he says, "Well, I've got to see Joseph. They've been separated for 20 years. I've got to see my son before I die." So Jacob sets off. And we read the first four verses. Genesis 46 tells us, "So Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba. He offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, 'Jacob, Jacob.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will close your eyes.'" So this is very encouraging, very reassuring for Jacob. God reassures him, "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt." And he promises to make Jacob a great nation in Egypt. He promises to be with him and to bring him back. And he also says that Joseph will be there right at the end of his life. So incredibly reassuring. And in fact, God spoke to Jacob several times during his life. And it's instructive to see the other occasions. Now, the first time God spoke to Jacob, you may remember this, it was when he was actually fleeing from his brother Esau. And so he'd wronged his brother Esau. Esau was consoling himself with the thought of killing Jacob. And so he flees to Haran. His mum and dad send him there to find himself a wife. So on his journey, he lies down for the night and he has a dream. And he sees a ladder going from earth to heaven. He sees angels going up and down the ladder. And God is standing at the top of this ladder. So God spoke to him and says, "Behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" So this great promise to Abraham is now transferred to Jacob. God's reassuring him that he's going to become a great nation. He's going to give him the land of Canaan, the promised land, and that through his descendants, all families will be blessed. So Jacob goes off to Haran. He works there, works for his uncle Laban for 20 years. And after 20 years, God speaks to him again. And he says, "The Lord said to Jacob," Genesis 31, "return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So God directs him and he reassures him, "I will be with you." So Jacob heads back and he's getting quite close to Canaan. It seems to dawn on him he's going to have to face his brother again, Esau. And he doesn't know what the reception will be like. Is it going to be good or is it going to be hostile? He doesn't know. So he basically sends his family ahead of him the night before. They cross the brook. He's all on his own. And then he wrestles with a man throughout the night. And he's wrestling. And it comes to daybreak the following day. Genesis 32. "Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.'" So Jacob means deceiver, whereas Israel means struggles or clings to God. So an incredible change of name. Now, maybe many people here could relate to what Jacob is going through. You think he's facing a difficult trial. He has to meet his brother. Many of us have been through trials. And sometimes you do spend the night struggling, wrestling with God in prayer. And it's tough. The Christian life can be very difficult. And you just don't know what the morning will bring. But you're there wrestling with God in prayer. And I would encourage you to take the example from Jacob's life. "I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me." So Jacob does meet his brother Esau, and it goes pretty well, and Jacob ends up settling in a place called Shechem. Well, a very nasty incident happens to Jacob's daughter, Dinah, in Shechem, and basically they have to move on. So Genesis 31, God tells Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and live there." So he tells him to move on. And then he reassures him again. He reassures him, affirms his change of name from Jacob, the deceiver, to Israel. And he also, he encourages Jacob. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply." He says, "A nation, in fact, a company of nations will come from you. Kings shall come forth from you." And he promises again to give his descendants the promised land. And this is the last instance we have in the Bible of God speaking directly to Jacob before what we're looking at this morning. So that's another big gap of over 20 years. And it's incredible because God has spoken to Jacob in these really pivotal times of his life to direct him, but also to encourage him, to reaffirm his promises. He says, I will always be with you. He promises to give his descendants Canaan, the promised land. And he says, you'll become a great nation. He says, all nations on earth will be blessed through you. But nowhere do we see God promising to give Jacob a cushy, easy life. It's just not there. Okay, so God's spoken to Jacob. He's on his way to Egypt. And we read that all the persons belonging to Jacob who came to Egypt, his direct descendants, not including the wives of Jacob's sons, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2. So all the people of the house of Jacob who came to Egypt were 70. So 70 is, it's a healthy size for a family, but it's not a nation. It's just a reasonable sized family, that's it. But God promises to make them a nation. So we carry on. We read, Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready. They went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. So this is a 20-year separation they'd suffered. And it had been really tough. And we know that when Joseph was testing his brothers, he wept, but he would go away and weep privately. Whereas now he sees his father again after 20 years, and he just can't help it. He just breaks down, throws his arms around his father, and he weeps for a long time. In fact, we look at the names of Joseph's sons born to him. We can get a bit more of the background. So we look at Genesis 40. Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh, which means God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. His second son was called Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's how it was for Joseph. We might think he's mightily blessed and a blessing to others, but he calls it the land of his affliction. So, Jacob and Joseph are reunited, and Joseph has a plan for his father and his brothers. He wants them to live in the land of Goshen. And the reason is that they are few in number. There are only 70 of them. If they became absorbed into Egypt proper, they would lose their identity. And God's promise to turn them into a great nation would be compromised. So Joseph has a plan to separate them. They would be in Egypt, but not part of Egypt. They wouldn't be assimilated and absorbed by the Egyptian culture. So the plan is they're going to tell Pharaoh the shepherds, and they keep livestock. They ask to live in the land of Goshen, and the Egyptians, not very keen on shepherds, and Pharaoh hopefully was going to agree, and everything works out fine. So in fact, that's just what happens. Joseph goes in, he presents 5 of his brothers. They come to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asks them what their occupation was. So they say, yes, we're shepherds, both us and our fathers. And they've come to stay temporarily in the land because there's no pasture for their flocks. And they ask to stay in Goshen, and Pharaoh, perhaps because he's so grateful to Joseph, he readily agrees, and they can stay in the land of Goshen. So I'll just show you a picture so we can see where Goshen is. So here is the River Nile. At the top of the River Nile, you get the delta where it all spreads out. It's very fertile when there's no famine. Well, on the east side of that delta is the land of Goshen. And that's where Jacob and his family lived. So they were in Egypt, but they were sufficiently far away from the big population centers to avoid being absorbed into the Egyptian nation. And they could flourish and become a separate nation on their own. So, That's the brothers. They've seen Pharaoh. Now Jacob himself meets Pharaoh. Genesis 47, verse 7. Joseph brought his father Jacob in, presented him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So it's interesting that Jacob blesses Pharaoh. In fact, he does it twice. And that is in fulfillment of what we looked at right at the beginning, Genesis 12, where it says Israel would be a blessing to other nations. Here we have Jacob blessing Pharaoh. And then when Pharaoh asks him, you know, "How old are you?" If he'd been a Brit, Jacob would have said, "Oh, I'm 130 and I'm fine, thanks, Pharaoh." But he says, "I'm 130, my years have been few and difficult." That's a surprise. Now we would think, well, Jacob, you're the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. You've had these incredible encounters with God during your life. Through you, the Savior of the world is going to come, and yet you describe your life as difficult. So let's go back and have a look at the lowlights in Jacob's life. Now, I don't know if any of you used to fight with your siblings when you were young. I certainly did. Nobody else here did, obviously. But I did. Well, Jacob and Esau started young. In fact, they started struggling with each other inside the womb. And there they were in the womb struggling. And they must have come towards the birth itself. And you could just imagine Jacob's in there struggling with his brother. And he's thinking, "I've got to be first. I've got to get to that finish line ahead of Esau." And he dives for the finish line. But somehow Esau just gets there before him. Jacob comes out clinging onto his brother's heel. He misses being firstborn by a matter of seconds. And I think that really annoyed him, because as he grew up, he could see how little Esau valued the great honor and privilege it was to be firstborn. And Jacob, one day, he saw his opportunity. Esau came in from the field, famished, and he agreed to sell his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. Quite shocking, really. That wonderful inheritance, he just sold it to Jacob. For a bowl of stew. But then, two chapters later, Jacob goes further and he deceives his father, and he receives the blessing of the firstborn from his father by deception. Esau's furious and he's thinking of killing Jacob, so Jacob has to flee. He has to flee to Haran. His mum and dad send him there for his safety. And they tell him, "Go find yourself a wife in Haran." And we're not talking about popping over to the other side of Bristol to find yourself a wife. Haran is in modern-day Turkey. It's 500 miles away. And the Bible tells us Jacob went with only his staff in his hand, a 500-mile journey to visit his relatives in Haran. He eventually gets there. He meets his uncle Laban. He falls in love with Laban's younger daughter, Rachel, and he serves Laban 7 years for her hand. So it's all going rather well, but then we read Genesis 29. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Not very nice being deceived, is it, Jacob? So he serves his uncle Laban for 20 years. And this is how he describes working for his uncle Laban. He says to him, "These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn of beasts, I did not bring you. I bore the loss of it myself. you required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was, by day the heat consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house, I have served you 14 years for your 2 daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. Maybe people here can relate to that, how tough work can be at times. Really, really difficult. But it didn't stop there for Jacob. Jacob, when he moved back to Canaan, he settled in Shechem. Genesis 34, his daughter Dinah is violated, and then her blood brothers, that was Simeon and Levi, they deceive the men of Shechem into becoming circumcised, and then they slay the lot of them. And Jacob has to move on. God moves him on to Bethel. But Genesis 35, Jacob's beloved wife Rachel dies in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin. Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers, Jacob's sons, sold Joseph into slavery, and they deceived Jacob into believing that Joseph had been torn into pieces by a wild animal. For 20 years, Jacob grieved for his son, believing him to have perished. And then finally, what we've seen this morning, at the age of 130, he has to leave behind his home and everything he's known. He has to travel hundreds of miles to spend the rest of his days in a foreign land. So we can see, yes, Jacob has been blessed by God, and he's been a blessing to others, but he's also had his fair share of trials and difficulties. And it's the same for us. If we are followers of the Lord Jesus, we will be blessed. We are his children and he loves us. And we seek to be a blessing to others. But don't kid yourselves, there are still trials and hardships along the way. So, we've looked at Jacob's life. We now, the story switches over to Joseph and how he saves Egypt from this terrible famine. And we just cover this briefly. So Genesis 47, verses 13 to 14, we see, first of all, Joseph sells the people grain. But when their money runs out, then he exchanges their livestock for food. But eventually their livestock runs out. And then, at their request, Joseph buys them and their land for food. And this was common practice at that time. It might seem odd to us, but it was common practice. They asked him, they requested, please buy us and our land in exchange for food, which Joseph did. But he did it at a very reasonable price, because later on they could live and work on their land, and all they had to do was pay Pharaoh 20%. Which was low by those days. Often they'd be charged 50% or more. So it's a very generous move. And you can see, verse 25, their reaction, you have saved our lives. What a tremendous blessing Joseph was to Pharaoh and Egypt. Incredibly so. So wrapping up, Genesis 47, we see that Israel lived in the land of Egypt, in Goshen. They acquired property in it and were fruitful and became very numerous. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. So you see, God has fulfilled his promise. He's made Israel very numerous in Egypt. They're well on their way to becoming a great nation. And he's blessed them. They've been there 17 years, so the years of famine are long gone. They're well back in history. They're prosperous. They've acquired property. They've been really blessed. And yet, we'll see, Jacob's heart is still for the promised land. Even though he's very comfortable in Egypt, his desire is for God's promised land. Much like Christian in the book Pilgrim's Progress, his desire, his focus all the time was the celestial city. So we read, Genesis 47, verse 29. When the time came for Israel to die grew near, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Please, if I have found favor in your sight, place now your hand under my thigh and deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but when I lie down with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And Joseph said, "I will do as you have said." So even right at the end of his life, here's Jacob. He's looking towards the promised land, much like we should be focusing on the kingdom of God as Christians, whether in times of hardship or in times of plenty. It is a great example to us, his life. We can learn so much from Jacob's life. And it's very real, much like the book Pilgrim's Progress, written hundreds of years ago. But it's still the truth of God's word still applies to our lives today. So we've covered a period in Jacob's life, 17-year period. And it started in Canaan, and it ends with Jacob looking forward to returning back to Canaan. It started with Israel in famine, and it ends with them very numerous, very prosperous, doing well in Egypt. But throughout the story, we see how God has blessed and upheld Jacob all his life. And right at the end is Jacob looking forward to the promised land. They become a great nation, as God had indeed promised. And one day God would bring that nation back, which you see in the book of Exodus. So in summary then, what can we say? What have we learnt this morning? We've seen that the Christian life is about being blessed by God, as many of our songs said this morning. And it's about being a blessing to others as well. But let's be realistic, we will experience trials and difficulties along the way. And the encouragement is to keep focused, cling on to God, like when Jacob was wrestling with God. Keep clinging on to him. Keep focused on God and his kingdom. Incredible lessons. And in my prayer life, I've been trying to pray that in the morning, to be blessed by God, but to be a blessing to others and to cling to him. So we're going to sing now. We're going to sing a song, "The Lord is My Shepherd," where we think how God is our shepherd and how he watches over us.